British Sky Broadcasting and TNT, in association with Electric Entertainment, presents a Dean Devlin production, The Librarian, Return to King Solomon's Mines, directed by Jonathan Frakes, starring Noah Weil as librarian-turned-adventurer Flynn Carson, Gabrielle Anwar as Emily Davenport, Jane Curtin as Charlene, Olympia Dukakis as Margie Carson, and Bob Newhart as Judson. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency. An aerial view of Rocky Mountains, glowing orange in the sunlight against a cloudless blue sky. Sun glints over a rock formation with an archway in the middle. A group of men with shovels are beneath the arch. A bearded man picks up a skull from amongst the rocks.
After all these years of searching...
He holds it up and dusts it off.
The skull is mine.
As he kisses it, it starts to glow. A young man and an Indian watch from above.
Looks like we're too late.
What is that thing?
That is the Crystal Skull, one of the lost treasures of Atlantis, thought to be the most powerful precognitive medium in the known universe. Could show you the future.
It'd be incredibly deadly in the wrong hands.
Whoa, where are you going?
We're gonna go down there. Get that skull.
But there's at least six of them, and there's only two of us, and they got guns.
Relax. This kind of stuff happens to me all the time.
He throws a rope down to the ground. The skull glows.
Let's seal this place off. Get the hell out of here. Put the dynamite down there. You, in the corner. Set it down. Let's go. Come on.
The young man, Flynn Carson, and the Indian creep out from behind a rock.
In the corner.
Flynn reaches out to pick up the skull. He puts it in his shoulder bag, then spots something.
I don't believe it.
He points at a rock.
Do you know what this is? It's an authentic Sioux arrowhead. This means that the Sioux migrated further west than previously thought.
That's great. I got five of those back home now. Can we get out of here?
Just gonna see if I can pry them loose.
Set the charge so we can blow this place up.
As Flynn takes the arrowhead, some rocks fall. The bearded man returns.
Hi. We were just... Arrowhead?
They've got the skull! Kill them!
Run, you are!
Flynn and the Indian scramble away over rocks.
Does this kind of stuff happen to you all the time, too?
You get used to it.
They run towards two horses.
Easy.
Flynn's horse moves off while he has one foot in the stirrup. He manages to heave himself into the saddle. The bearded man throws a grenade at them. They're pursued by men on motorbikes and two on a quad bike. Flynn and the Indian gallop along a dusty track, glancing over their shoulders. Flynn smiles, looking relieved.
I think we lost them!
Flynn looks back to see the motorbikes gaining on them. They're chased through rocky terrain. The quad bike sends up a cloud of dust. While grenades explode by the horses, Flynn and the Indian duck. They gallop between two boulders. A biker can't follow and falls off. The quad bike crashes and the driver flies through the air.
Don't let them get away!
The quad bike starts up again.
No way off! We have to turn around!
That's a Tamarisk truck!
Wherever there's a tamarisk, there's gotta be... What month is it? It's March, right?
What?
Okay. When I say jump, we jump.
Jump! Are you out of your mind?
Let's go.
They turn away from the edge of a sheer drop, stop, then turn back again.
Ready?
Yeah!
They gallop towards the cliff edge, jump, and plummet into a river far below. Clinging to the horses, they're pulled out. Flynn kneels on the bank and shakes off the water. The Indian lies on his back.
How did you know?
Tamarisk scrub. It only grows near rivers. And Utah's average water level for March is 5 feet 3/4 inches, so I figured that'll be enough to break our fall.
But it's April.
April? Really? We should have been smashed like pancakes. I guess we got really lucky then.
The Indian has left. Flynn looks bemused.
April.
Cairo, Egypt. An elderly man with a parcel in his shirt pocket runs through narrow streets. He's being chased by two armed men and a brown-haired woman. He runs through a crowded market, then hides with his back to a wall. Through a wire grill in the wall, he watches his pursuers hesitate. He runs off. They barge their way through the market looking for him.
Boy, come here. I want you to take this to the post office for me. Pakaj Bari, do you understand? Hurry. Very important. Now go, hurry. Here. Now go, hurry.
A boy leading a goat takes the parcel. The gunman runs past him in a narrow alley. The elderly man hurries away and runs into the path of a Land Rover. He's knocked over and lands face down. The gunman hands his weapon to the brunette and stoops to turn the man over. The tall man in boots, General Samir, stands over them, hands on hips. "Search him," he says. The gunman checks the old man's pockets. Impatient, Samir grabs the old man by the shirt.
Whatever you've done with it, I will find it.
The old man dies. They drop him and leave. Round his neck, a diamond-shaped Masonic amulet. Flynn arrives back at the imposing library where he works. He jogs up a curving staircase with an elaborate wrought iron handrail. He playfully mimics a stone statue with arms raised and mouth open.
Flynn, you're 1.2 minutes late. I'll be sure to deduct that from your pay. Judson's looking for you downstairs. Oh, I hope you remember to save your receipts this time.
He pats his pocket.
What, did we acquire a new statue?
No, Steve the guard accidentally looked at Medusa's head. Turn to stone.
Who covers that? Is that health insurance or workman's comp?
This is a place of business, not your home. I would appreciate it if you did not have your personal correspondence sent here. Don't you have an apartment?
I have an apartment. I'm never there. I'm always working.
Your landlord called and you're late on your rent. Your mother wants you to stop by after work. Oh, and this came for you.
She hands him the parcel.
Egypt.
Well, now that I'm done playing secretary, I have work to do. And so do you.
He gives a mocking salute. Flynn strides through the wood-paneled library across the highly polished floor. He nods to a security man standing by a bookcase.
Money.
There.
Flynn pulls out a book and the shelves open like a door.
Sorry to hear about Steve.
Sliding doors open. Flynn looks around, pausing at the top of a flight of marble steps. He stretches his arms.
Hello? Hello, Judson! Come home!
A sword flies through the air on its own and lands across his throat. He pushes it away. It pokes him in the bottom.
Help!
Not now.
Okay.
I'm not in the mood.
The hilt hits him in the stomach, then under the chin.
Can you not see that I'm just a little bit preoccupied?
He ducks as it flies over his head, then strikes him on the back of his neck. It dances around him.
Okay. You want to play? I'll play with you. Here we go.
Followed by the sword, Flynn goes into a storeroom and picks up a trident. They duel. Flynn lashes out at the sword wildly and breaks a glass case. An elderly man looks up, concerned. The sword bounces off the walls, then flies at Flynn. He fends it off, then grabs the hilt.
Now I've got you! You're all washed up!
Water spurts out of the trident.
That's enough for today.
The sword flies off and embeds itself in a stone.
It's best not to use water analogies with Poseidon's trident.
Jensen, I know you've instructed Excalibur to attack me at will, but this is a little ridiculous.
Solid.
Just coming up from
part of your plan.
I have a cup of coffee, and I've been wearing the same clothes for the last 4 days, and I'm wet
again. Keep you sharp. Besides, you almost had them that time. You're using the Shroud of Turin.
Flynn stops mopping his face with it and holds it up horrified. Judson takes it.
Leo, I told you to put the shroud away.
Sorry, Judson. Follow me, Flynn.
A brick wall opens up. Judson walks through. Flynn hesitates.
Come on, there's something I want to show you.
Flynn looks around in amazement.
Leave it. This is a completely different part of the library. I'm honored that you'd show it to me.
This is the service entrance. So, how did Utah go?
One crystal skull, as promised.
Well, I think the library is going to be a much safer home.
Looks like I saved the world. Again?
Barely.
Barely? What's that supposed to mean?
I heard about the incident at the burial cave. You risked your life and almost lost the skull.
Pan pipes come to life.
All because of some artifact.
Oh, that was no ordinary artifact. That was an authentic Sioux arrowhead in Utah, of all places.
And where's the arrowhead now?
I lost it jumping off a cliff into the Colorado River, but you should have seen it.
Your little escapade could have jeopardized the whole mission.
Okay, you know, Judson, I've been the librarian here for over a year now. And in that time, I have saved the world from magic spears and time-traveling ninjas and everything else that you can think of. I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
You have.
Well, then when are you going to... Can you stop playing for 1 second, please? When are you going to start to trust me?
Flynn, I trust you. I mean, we send you out on missions alone. It's just, you have a lot to learn. I mean, sometimes you have to give up what you want for the greater good. You see, that's the difference between a good librarian and a great librarian. Are you all right? I mean, is something else bothering you?
No, I've got work to do.
He leaves. Nighttime. He approaches a large house which is in darkness and stoops to take a key from under the mat to open the front door.
Hello? Mom? You got a message that you want me to stop by? Oh my God, I'm God and gone to hell.
32 years old, I don't believe it. My baby boy is all grown up. One thing. Birthdays are nonsense. Who doesn't like birthdays?
Oh. Who are these people?
Oh, friends, relatives, the girls from my mahjong plus.
Why do you keep your life so secret? I don't know who to invite. Oh, there's someone I want you to meet.
No.
Yes.
No, Mom, I don't want no more magic.
I know, but this one's perfect. Perfect. Rose, Flynn, Rose, I'm getting goosebumps just looking at the two of you.
Hello, Flynn. Happy birthday.
Thank you. You're Rose Edwards.
Yes.
Isn't she charming?
Do you excuse us for 1 second?
Sure. What's wrong? Too skinny?
She's my third cousin.
So?
So, I don't even think that's legal in certain states.
What's the big deal? She's your cousin. You'll have plenty to talk about. Honey, it's your birthday. Relax. Have a good turn. Oh, I've got to set up the karaoke.
Oh, no. So, how's Aunt Laura?
Good. She's having a new hip put in next week.
I need a drink. I need a big drink. Can I get you anything else?
No.
Are you good?
Yeah.
Excuse me, one second.
Flynn goes into the kitchen and grabs a bottle of scotch.
I hope you're old enough to drink that.
What are you doing here? Oh, I thought you were in South America.
Nepal, and I came back early. I couldn't miss the opportunity to see your mother embarrass you.
Oh, you have no idea. She's out there trying to fix me up with my own cousin.
Better make that a double.
Coming up. So, Nepal? That sounds exciting.
I'm telling you, Flynn, there's a lot of money to be made in the import-export business. If you ever want a job, you could get out of that stuffy library job of yours. Go out and see the world.
Jerry, I think I'm okay.
All right. Ooh. Anyway, excuse me.
He picks up a wooden box.
Furniture wasn't the only thing I picked up in Nepal. Happy birthday, kiddo.
Wow. This is amazing. It's a Tibetan shadow box. From the Qing Dynasty, judging from the woodwork.
I figured you'd know more about the darn thing than I would. Open it up.
Inside is a black and white photo of two sailors in front of a ship.
That picture was taken shortly after I met your dad. That was, 38 years ago. The two of us, we were best friends right off the bat. After the war, your dad met your mother. Well, we both met her, but, you know, in the hospital right after you were born, your dad made me swear that I would take care of you if anything ever happened to him. Now, I know I've said it before. I just want to remind you, I'm there for you if you ever need me.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
They embrace.
Len, it's your turn to sing. Jerry, oh, I didn't think you would be able to come.
Marge, you know, what is it? You get younger and more beautiful every time I see you.
Now, come on now, let's join the party. Oh, the three of us can do a number together.
We're going to need this.
He picks up the scotch bottle. Flynn sits on his bed in his old room, looking at photos of himself with his father. His mother enters.
There you are. Well, finally everyone left, thank God. You all right?
Yeah, I'm just looking at some old pictures, me and Dad.
I bet this day was really hard for you.
I've been thinking about him all day. He was 32 when he died, I'm 32 now. I feel like I didn't even know who he was.
You know who he was. He was a dress salesman from Brooklyn and he loved his family. Now, what more did you need to know?
Him? I hardly ever saw him. I mean, he was always traveling. He was gone all the time. I mean, I've got 22 degrees. I got all this useless information at the tip of my fingers. I can't tell you one thing about my own father.
I want to show you something.
What? What do you got?
It was very special. He bought this at a secondhand store. He would joke about it and say this was the Carson family seal, that we were descended from kings. He would put that on and tell you the most extraordinary bedtime stories about magical kingdoms, upside down valleys.
And the Laughing Rocks. See, I remember. I used to draw pictures of it for him, waiting for him to come home.
She reaches into an old case and pulls out some childish drawings.
What? You did not. You saved these?
Well, I thought you would want them someday to remember him.
I remember the stories. I remember the silly little fantasies, but nothing about him.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. Maybe these pictures say more than you realize.
Flynn puts an arm around his mother, who's sitting next to him on the bed, and kisses her. He arrives at his apartment. As he climbs the stairs, he takes the package out of his jacket and starts to open it. It's a scroll. He unrolls it and looks at the hieroglyphics on it. He arrives at his front door, which is ajar. His apartment is in darkness. He creeps in, looking around. It's been ransacked.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
Hello?
Judson, it's me. I think you better get over here right away.
What is it?
Well, somebody sent me something in the mail today, and I think...
Flynn, are you still there?
There's somebody in my apartment.
Flynn puts down the phone. Judson hangs up. Flynn carries a large silver trophy and creeps into his bedroom towards a heavy, dark wood wardrobe.
Okay, I know you're in there. I have, a weapon.
He reaches out and opens the door. A ginger cat is inside.
Let's see if I can find some food for you.
Samir smashes a vase over his head.
Flynn, are you all right?
Yeah. Although, I think my head might disagree with me.
You have a pretty nasty bump there. Who did this to you?
Some guy was waiting for me when I came home. He was probably looking for... The scroll, it's gone. He took it. Somebody sent it to me in the mail. It was an ancient parchment, vellum or papyrus, probably at least 3,000 years old. Had a little symbol in the corner of Star of David and...
Crescent moon at the bottom.
Yeah. How did you know that?
King Solomon's seal.
King Solomon? It's been a while since I was in Sunday school. Let me see. Solomon ruled Israel during the 10th century B.C., regarded as being one of the Bible's wisest and richest kings. He stored his immense wealth in a golden temple built by 24 masons, handpicked by Solomon himself.
Correct. Only he didn't keep everything in the temple. For fear of looting, his personal prized possessions were secretly stored somewhere else.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about King Solomon's mines? That's just a legend, isn't it?
Hello. Flynn, how long have you been working here?
Right.
For centuries, men have sought Solomon's treasures. Only the location of the mines has never been found. It was rumored only the 24 masons knew, and they devised a map. What you received in the mail was that map.
That was a map? No. Just like a bunch of random symbols and markings.
Sometimes looks can be deceiving.
Okay, so if that was the map... And the guys that were in my apartment were actually looking for King Solomon's treasure.
And you're just figuring that out now?
I got hit on the head.
Well, I'm afraid there's more.
Judson shows Flynn an old illustrated book.
Key of Solomon.
An ancient tome with incredible powers. It's believed that Solomon used those powers to rule his people.
Yeah, you know, I've heard of this before. It could... summon the powers of the underworld, and it could bend space and time.
If the Key of Solomon were ever to fall into the wrong hands.
Flynn smiles.
Fate of the world, right?
Judson looks anxious.
Right.
They exit through the bookcase.
Fortunately for us, the map is useless without the legend piece to decipher it. The map legend is located in Vesuvius, near the Roman ruins in Morocco.
Roman ruins. Check.
Flynn, retrieve the map and the legend, if you can. The location of King Solomon's mines must never be found.
Boy, that whole I'm off on a mission with a good chance I'll probably die feeling. That never really goes away, does it?
Look, don't worry. Just do what I've taught you to do and you'll be fine.
Your plane leaves in 2 hours? You're going to Casablanca.
Casablanca? Mm-hmm. You mean like the movie Casablanca?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I love that movie. Charlene, I think this is a beginning of a beautiful friendship.
No, it's not. Be safe. Don't get killed. Save your receipts.
Charlene watches him leave. Judson materializes.
Did you tell him?
No.
You should have told him.
He'll find out soon enough.
A map shows Flynn's flight to North Africa. As he walks out of the bustling airport, a camel passes by. He strides past traders selling their wares. He approaches a three-wheeled taxi, which drives off, ignoring him. Another one pulls up.
Rich American Cafe and make it snappy, pal.
From the movie Casablanca. How delightfully original of you.
Volubilis ruins, please.
Flynn climbs into the back of the three-wheeler. It drives off.
Volubilis ruins. Bogey.
Flynn arrives at an archaeological dig and nearly bumps into a young boy.
Sorry.
He passes a man surveying the site. The young boy walks up to a camel covered in a red rug. A donkey is led past it. Amongst the ruins, men dig in the orange dirt.
You're not digging deep enough. We haven't even broken through the sedimentary layer.
Miss Emily, we've been digging for weeks and weeks and we have found nothing.
Well, then we're riding the grid.
We've done it already twice.
Do it again till we find something.
She notices Flynn.
Who's that? Keep digging.
Ayala, ayala!
Yalla, yasimab!
Flynn is brushing dirt off a piece of pottery.
Excuse me. Can I help you?
Well, I hope you know how rare this is. Emblem of mosaic, Roman, circa 40 AD.
He turns and nearly drops it.
50 AD, not 40.
50 AD. Right, that's what I meant. I got confused. I was recently hit on the head.
Who are you? What do you want?
My name is Flynn Carson. I'm with the Geological Institute. We're doing a soil survey in the region.
You seem awfully familiar with Roman artifacts for a geologist.
It's a hobby of mine.
This is a private dig, Mr. Carson. I'm afraid your survey will have to wait.
She storms off.
That's okay. I don't mind waiting.
Nearby, a man in a blue headdress watches Flynn suspiciously. Flynn checks his watch.
Okay, I do mind waiting.
He approaches Emily.
Computer imaging. High-resolution digital photography. This is a very impressive setup you have here, Miss...
Davenport. Emily Davenport.
What exactly are you looking for, if you don't mind me asking?
Evidence to prove that this area was once ruled by the Queen of Sheba.
Queen of Sheba? As in King Solomon's wife from the Old Testament.
That's the one.
But I thought that her reign only extended to parts of southern Arabia.
I'm going to prove otherwise. Excuse me.
Have you found anything?
A Roman antechamber in the southwest grid.
What about something unusual? Like, say, for example, something that could be used to read a map.
She looks at him suspiciously.
You're the second person to ask me that today.
Somebody else was here.
Yes. And they were snooping around, rather like you are.
Wow, two people on the same day. That's quite a coincidence.
Better just say you're from
the I'm from the Geological Institute.
So you must know John Binder over there. Tell me, how's old John doing these days?
He wags a finger at her.
Very good. It's a trick question. There is no John Binder.
He's the head of the Institute. I knew it. You're here to steal my dig.
No.
Who sent you? Was it Pierre Bourbon from the Sorbonne?
Yes.
You tell Pierre and his vultures. Ne me dérange plus, d'accord? Et si c'était moi? Get off my sight before I call security.
If I could just have a minute.
Chirito!
Yes!
Chirito, it's okay. I'm going. I'm going.
Flynn picks up his bag, smiles at Emily, and leaves. The man in the blue headdress watches furtively. Nighttime, a full moon. Flynn hides in the ruins. He switches on a torch and creeps forward. Emily appears behind him.
Whoa!
You don't give up, do you?
You scared the hell out of me. What, are you sleeping here?
This is a permit with my name on it. It means I can have you arrested for trespassing. And believe me, you don't want to spend the night in a Moroccan jail.
Look, Miss Davenport.
Professor Davenport.
I'm sorry I lied to you. But I'm not here to steal your dig.
Then what are you here to do?
It's a little hard to explain.
Try me.
I'm looking for a map legend that'll help me decipher a map. To King Solomon's mind.
You should have stuck with your geologist story. It was much more believable.
I'm telling you the truth.
And the map also tells you the location of Atlantis and Never Neverland, too.
He shines his torch on the wall of an underground chamber.
What are you doing?
I'm looking for a secret lever. You see, the Romans often built secret chambers into their architecture to hide their valuables.
I know all about Roman architecture, thank you very much. There are no secret chambers here.
There's always a secret chamber.
Big words coming from a guy who thought the mosaic piece was from 40 AD.
He elbows the wall. caves in.
Oh, look! Secret chamber.
Flynn steps into the dark chamber, followed by Emily. He switches off his torch. A beam of moonlight shines on a mummy in a coffin.
Do you know where you're standing?
Claudius Ptolemy's tomb. Father of geometry and astronomy. Makes sense, really, if you want to find a map. Find a map maker.
Flynn looks at the mummy while Emily notices a globe on a plinth.
Look at this.
That is a reproduction of Ptolemy's famous atlas. You see, Ptolemy was among the first to theorize that the Earth was actually spherical.
Look at the top and bottom of the globe. The alignment of the continents is all wrong.
Just as I suspected.
Flynn turns and lifts off the top of the hollow globe. Emily shines the torch inside while Flynn takes out a legend, a narrow metal bar.
Ooh, look at these symbols. Is that Hebrew? No, it's not Hebrew. Early Sumerian, maybe.
It easily predates Ptolemy by 1,000 years. It's odd, I've never seen that symbol.
I have.
He takes out his amulet.
A mock legend must not leave the tomb.
Well, can we talk about this?
The legend is not yours to keep.
We weren't going to keep it.
Speak for yourself. This is my dig. I have a permit.
The man in the blue headdress lunges at them, misses and hits the mummy. He wrestles Flynn to the floor.
Now you die.
Help!
Emily!
Emily shines the torch at them. Flynn's amulet dazzles his assailant.
The order!
He backs away.
What just happened?
Amulet?
Flynn jumps up.
The order of the cryptic masons!
He smiles and pulls out his amulet.
You are one of us. Brother, long have the descendants of the original 24 protected the secrets of Solomon. From mason to mason, the secret shall be passed. The map legend is yours.
He picks up the legend, bows, and offers it to Flynn, who takes it, shrugging at Emily.
God be with you.
I think we better be going. We gotta go.
Somewhere.
The man pulls a lever. The wall opens.
Wait! The other half of the map legend is in Kenya, near the Gedi province. Journey between the breasts of Sheba, and you will find it with the all-seeing eye. Now go!
As they escape, a portcullis descends behind them. The gunmen arrive.
You know where this leads?
I thought you knew! Hey, look, an aqueduct. See, the Romans often built...
Enough with the history lessons. I know what it is.
Oh, no, Rhino. There's moss growing inside. It's probably slippery enough, and I think gravity will take us.
The flashes of gunfire.
I knew I was going to regret meeting you.
They both slide down a dark chute. At the end, they tumble out of a doorway, down steps into a muddy puddle on the street, almost into the path of a dirty truck. It screeches to a halt. Mud splattered Flynn and Emily scramble to their feet.
Huh? Can you give us a ride into town?
The gunmen are torching the ruins. The brunette, holding a machine gun, runs up to Samir.
The American got away with the map piece.
Daytime. Flynn and Emily are sitting in the back of the truck loaded with goats.
Those men back there are looking for King Solomon's mines altar?
Yeah. And a book called The Key of Solomon.
Well, if we want to get a jump on them, we better get going to Kenya.
What?
The other piece of the map legend is somewhere near Gedi in Kenya.
You don't even believe in King Solomon's mines.
That map legend is over 3,000 years old. The university will fund my dig for another 10 years if I bring them all the same. I'm coming with you, Flynn.
I don't need you.
You need me to decipher the markings on the legend.
I don't mean to brag. But I'm pretty good at deciphering dead languages.
They're not written in a dead language. They're written in Akon. An ancient form of Hebrew cryptography? Go ahead, take a peek.
He takes out the legend.
I can figure this out.
If you know the 312-digit polyalphabetic cipher needed to decode it. Do you know the cipher?
No.
Wake me up when we get to the airport.
Smugly, she rests her head on her bag. Flynn studies the legend, rubbing his chin. They're on a busy street in Kenya.
Are you still trying to figure that out?
I don't understand. I should be able to do this. I deciphered the language of the birds in 7 hours.
Give me a clue. Give me a little clue. Give me just the first three letters of the cipher.
Getty Province is about a day's drive from here. I found this rhyme, but you're not going to like it.
Welcome, animals, to the safari. We will have a short time and a half hour drive.
Flynn? Flynn Carson? Is that you? It's me, Deborah Markham. Well, Deborah Potter now. Remember our mother set us up on that date once?
Yes, yes, Deborah. Social worker, works with convicted felons.
Right. Well, this is my husband, Carl. We met at work. And who is this sitting beside you? Is this your new wife?
Yes, yes, yes. This is Emily. My beautiful, beautiful bride.
We don't.
I don't want my mother to know why I'm really here, so just play along, okay?
Everyone, this is my friend Flynn Carson and his new wife, Emily. Let's give them both a big honeymooner welcome. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da.
She throws rice over Flynn and Emily as the honeymoon safari Land Rover drives along a dusty road. Watched by Samir, the mason in the blue headdress is tied to a chair and beaten up by the gunman and the brunette. This lighter, says Samir, holding it close to his victim's face. I took off of the very first man that I killed. It holds very great sentimental value to me. I will not tell, says the man in the blue headdress. From mason to mason, the secrets shall be passed. I'm tired of hearing this nonsense, says his captor. Where is the map legend? You will have to kill me. He spits in Samir's face. No, 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 I would not dream of killing you. I want you alive so you can watch as I kill them. They turn his chair so he can see his wife and two children huddled together, looking terrified. One of his sons wipes away a tear.
Send us a postcard!
Flynn and Emily stand next to the dirt road as the Land Rover leaves.
This is as far as they take us. Getty's a two-day hike on foot.
Hey, if you get off that bus.
They turn and walk down a shrub-covered hill towards a grassy plain. Tribesmen in red robes dance in a circle.
Look at that. You know what that is? That's the Etikarendi. That's their mating dance.
It's called Oilopieri, and it's their hunting dance.
Etikarendi.
Oilopieri.
Why do you keep doing that, correcting me like that? You know, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
Why do they get dumb? You're as smart as I am.
Well, I have you know I hold 12 bachelor's degrees, 6 master's and 4 PhDs, which is 22 total, which is almost a record. How many degrees do you have?
25, and I'll be starting my 26th next June. Who's counting? Excuse me.
She walks through the tribesmen. They leave the village of mud huts. She consults a notebook. A map shows their route to Wajir. They walk along the ridge of a sand dune. Flynn looks exhausted and nearly trips. They both stagger across white sand. Emily stops in her tracks.
What, are we walking too fast now?
A tribesman with a painted face is buried up to his neck.
Are you all right?
I've been better.
Flynn kneels and scrapes away the sand.
Who did this to you?
I was caught stealing crops on Bantu land.
What, they just left you out here to die?
I am no... I would have done the same.
Grab his hand. Here we go.
Pulling on his arms, they heave him out of the sand. Flynn falls over backwards. The tribesman stands up and stretches his back. Emily looks up at him.
I am Jomo. You have saved my life.
Oh, hey. I don't know about all that.
I'm indebted to you. You'll come with me to my village. There you'll be showered with food and women and treated like a king.
Well, I saved you too.
Shh! Did you see the man is talking? I'm sorry. You were saying something about a king. How many women are we talking
It's really about? Very sweet of you, but we should be going because we're on our way to Getty.
Getty? Well, I know the place. I will take you there. Where you go, Jomo will go.
Oh, it's really not necessary.
I will not rest until I have paid my debt to you.
He nods.
Jomo will get these for you.
He picks up their bags.
How many women?
You heard the man. It's his custom.
They follow Jomo across bare earth. Sunset over a lake. Jomo kneels on the bank to wash his face. Hippos swim in the lake. An elephant wades into the water. Trees are silhouetted against an orange sky. They're in a canoe.
Want chocolate bar?
Not me.
Birds fly across the water.
Bird. 2,000 years ago, King Solomon used the same bird to fly messages across to the Queen of Sheba. And now here it is, all these years later, flying over our heads.
You always been interested in the Queen of Sheba?
Ever since I was a little girl. I used to stay awake all night long, reading the same old stories about her. So much power. Mystery. She could have been the queen of all Africa.
Sounds good to me.
Well, the trick is proving it, and I haven't had much luck with it.
Well, just because you haven't found any evidence yet doesn't mean you won't. One has to have a little faith.
The water bubbles next to the canoe. They look around nervously.
What's going on?
Hippos, the deadliest animal in Africa.
Yeah, highly territorial. They'll tear us to shreds.
Hippos have incredible auditory faculties. If we remain quiet, try not to breathe, they might leave us alone.
The hippo lifts its head.
All right, actually, I'm going to disagree with you. Maybe if we sound a threatening call, we might be able to drive them off.
No, we have to try and scare them off. They can make noise.
Be quiet!
Look, you moron!
It's a defensive action! We're making progress!
Flynn's oar is chomped by a hippo. It bites the canoe. Jomo throws bars of chocolate at the hippos. They all submerge. Flynn looks at Jomo.
Hippos like chocolate.
Flynn, embarrassed, releases his grip on Emily and hands her his hanky. She hands it back to him.
Thank you.
Get out of the way!
Nighttime, General Samir and his thugs speed through a village in two jeeps. Sunrise over the lake. Flynn and Emily follow Jomo along the bank. Flynn offers Emily some chocolate. She refuses. They struggle up a hillside.
Hey, Jomo! You think maybe we could take a little break?
It's just for an hour, three tops.
We rest here for 5 minutes, we eat, and then we go.
Yes. Anything.
Oh. As they sit down, Jomo peels some bark off a tree and grabs a handful of grubs.
Come, eat.
He pours them into his mouth.
Wow.
Do you have any of those little chocolates?
I'm way ahead of you.
Flynn opens his bag and finds his old drawings.
My drawings? I don't believe it. My mom. She must have snuck them in my bag when I wasn't looking.
You still live with your mother?
What, who, me? No. No. I not anymore. I mean, I moved out. I got my own apartment now. Yeah, I know. It's a little embarrassing.
Don't worry. I slept at home all through grad school.
They smile at each other.
May I?
She looks at his drawings.
Well, you're no Picasso, that's for sure.
Give me a break. I was 8 years old.
Still.
He snatches them back.
Okay.
Jomo picks up Flynn's bag.
Time to go.
Flynn and Emily, disgruntled, both check their watches.
So what are those drawings of, anyway?
Bedtime stories. My dad used to tell me these silly bedtime stories, and I would draw them for him.
I bet he appreciated that.
I guess. I never really knew my dad. He died when I was young. He got mugged coming home from work, and the coward shot him. Never even caught who did it.
Oh, sorry, Flynn.
Unfortunately, those silly bedtime stories are all I have left.
My father never read me bedtime stories. He was always too busy working or fighting with my mother. I never talked to him growing up. And he's still alive, and I still don't talk to him. Seems to me you had
old father. She puts on her jacket and walks ahead. Flynn looks down at the amulet around his neck. A map shows their route across Kenya. They climb a grassy hillside next to a lake. There are two mountains in the distance beyond the water. Emily and Flynn push aside thorny bushes.
You see, Gedi Province.
Jomo points at the horizon.
Now what?
Now we have to look for something called the Breasts of Sheba, or the All-Seeing Eye.
Whatever that means.
Flynn turns around and raises his eyebrows.
I think I found the Breasts of Sheba.
He points to the two mountains.
See the two mountains there? See how they kind of resemble the, well, the...
I get it, Flynn.
She moves off, annoyed. Flynn looks awkward and follows. They're in a village.
They tell me there's a mystic shop in the next village run by a fortune teller.
There we will find the old seeing eye.
Thank you for everything. You were a huge help.
It is over?
Yeah, we're just going to go into town and grab that map legend piece. Head on home, so we can take it from here.
I have not yet repaid my debt to you.
Sure you have. You brought us here.
Yeah, you saved us from the hippos and didn't make us eat the termites. I think we're even.
Go well.
Jomo looks solemn. They shake hands.
We will.
Emily smiles and shakes his hand. Jomo looks worried as they leave. They cross a dusty plain. Emily jogs and overtakes Flynn, who stumbles and nearly falls. A woman tends a fruit stall in a busy market. Flynn and Emily look up at an eye painted on a wall. Mystic Show. They glance at each other.
The All-Seeing Eye.
They climb up steps to a scruffy green door. General Samir opens the door.
May I help you?
Are you the owner of this shop?
Yes. Come in, please.
They both try to enter at once. Grinning evilly, Samir shuts the door behind them.
The store belonged to my father. It was his pride and joy.
Where is your father now?
He died. Not too long ago. It was my father's dying wish that I continue his legacy, so I inherited the store from him.
Well, they say the secret shall be passed.
Flynn pulls out his amulet.
Indeed they shall.
Among other things.
Samir pulls out a matching one.
I received this from a cryptic mason in Morocco. He told me I could find the other half to it here.
Flynn hands him the legend. He studies it.
Finally. Solomon's mines.
Flynn snatches it back.
The other half?
Yes, it's here. Unfortunately, my father got the rest of the stall. He passed away before he could reveal its hidden location. But perhaps you could help me search for it?
Flynn spins the legend and puts it in his bag.
Thank you.
Emily and Flynn search the cluttered room. Samir watches them furtively. Flynn taps on walls and checks the shelves. He plunges his hand through a dusty rush screen and pulls out a piece of paper.
What do we have in here?
He opens it up.
What the? That's my drawing.
You found something?
Samir approaches Flynn.
There's something hidden inside this wall.
Emily looks out of the window as a jeep pulls up with a gunman and the brunette.
What the?
They jump out. Flynn reaches through the rushes and pulls out a metal disc.
That's the other half of the map legend.
Emily notices the general's boots under his robe and picks up a vase to smash over his head.
What are you doing?
He's one of them. That guy.
Run.
They run out as the gunmen arrive. They look out of the first floor window.
Now what?
We'll have to jump.
Enough.
No. That storing should slow our free fall velocity by at least 47%. 47%?
Would you stop arguing with me?
They have the legend. Go! Get them!
As the gunmen open fire on them, they jump, landing side by side on the fruit stall below. The trader waves her arms angrily as they run off. The gunmen look out of the window.
Have the map!
As Emily and Flynn run through the market under fire, the crowd duck. Drummers play at a wedding reception. The guests in brightly coloured outfits dance. Emily and Flynn run up to the party and join in the dancing, losing themselves in the throng to throw off their pursuers. Flynn twirls around and becomes entangled in a green streamer. Emily and Flynn find themselves suddenly flung together amongst the crowd. They gaze into each other's eyes, remaining still, while the guests dance around them. Flynn leans closer, about to kiss Emily. Samir has arrived. The guests duck. Flynn and Emily flee, pursued by Samir's thugs. They run past passengers at a station towards a waiting train.
Flynn!
Flynn stops, looking surprised.
Uncle Jerry? What are you doing here?
On my way to Mombasa to pick up some exports. What are you doing?
We're in a little bit of trouble. We gotta get out of here. Can you help us?
I've got some cabins on the train. Get on.
They all board the train. It pulls away as the gunmen arrive in jeeps. They hide below and either side of the window. Samir and his thugs run alongside the slow-moving train. Samir is just outside the window.
Those look like General Samir's men. You're lucky you ran into me when you did.
General Samir?
He's the head of a militia around these parts. Very dangerous. Look, Flynn, these are very unstable lands. It's no time to be caught in the middle of a war.
Too late.
Nighttime on the train. Flynn walks along a wood-paneled corridor looking clean and smartly dressed in a jacket and shirt.
Come in.
Hey, you better ready for...
Emily wears a red bikini top and sarong with a beaded choker.
That's a native Maasai dress, I believe.
Yes, it is. Your Uncle Jerry gave it to me.
She turns around, her long hair in a plait.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's not bad. Shall we, before it gets cold?
She smiles and passes him in the doorway.
Oh, so, we're at this book signing, packed with people. And Flynn, this little 9-year-old in short pants, walks up to the author and starts arguing with him, telling him his book is all wrong. The
man's thesis was unsound. I was just pointing it out.
Stephen Hawking. 9-year-old does not argue with Stephen Hawking. That's genius.
Well, now...
Not for me. This has gone straight to my head. And I shall be retiring to my cabin.
She stands up and kisses Uncle Jerry.
Thank you. For my dress.
Emily and Flynn look at each other. She leans over, picks up her drink, and totters towards the door, unsteady on her feet.
Careful.
Flynn watches her leave.
So what are you going to do next? You going after this King Solomon's treasure or whatever you said it was?
I don't know yet.
I think you should come to Mombasa with me. Your mother would have a heart attack if she knew what you were up to.
Flynn takes out his amulet and studies it.
Flynn, are you all right? Since you saw that.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking about Dad. You guys knew each other pretty well, didn't you?
Well, he was my best friend, I'd like to think so.
Is it possible that he could have had a secret life?
Secret? You mean like you?
Flynn shrugs. Jerry picks up the amulet.
Well, we all have our secrets, Flynn. I guess your dad was no different. Take this amulet. He was wearing this when I first met him, and I don't think I ever saw him take it off.
You told Mom he got that in a secondhand shop.
Your dad did tell me. that he was given this by his father, who got it from his father before him and on down the line. This amulet is part of your legacy, passed on from generation to generation.
The secret shall be passed.
Flynn puts it over his head.
Flynn, what are you mixed up in?
Flynn drains his glass.
Thank you for everything, Uncle Jerry.
He leaves the table. Jerry shakes his head. Emily is on Flynn's bed.
Oh. Hey. I was, just going over the map and legend pieces, trying to figure them out.
Any luck?
Well, I connected the two pieces of the map legend, and I deciphered the markings. They reference the Old Testament, specifically the
Song of Solomon.
He slides the door shut.
How do you know?
I cracked the Akkad cipher last night.
He opens his jacket.
You did?
It wasn't that hard, actually. It's just the Egyptian rhymed equation, a little multivariate calculus thrown in. I don't know what I was thinking.
Why didn't you tell me you'd figured it out? If you know the cipher, then you don't need me anymore.
Well, I guess I just liked having you around.
She smiles shyly. He sits next to her on the bed.
So, the Song of Solomon. What does a series of love poems from the Bible have to do with this map? Maybe this holds the answer. Maybe we're supposed to use this somehow to read the map.
It has a purpose. I don't know what it is.
He holds the hole in the disc to his eye. As the train lurches, they're thrown together. They gaze at each other. She looks uneasy.
You can let go now.
Okay. The Song of Solomon mentions kissing, doesn't it?
I think so.
Let him kiss me with his mouth, for thy kisses are sweeter than gold.
Wine.
What?
But thy kisses are sweeter than wine. You said gold.
Because I'm pretty sure it is gold.
And I'm pretty sure it's wine.
No, it's gold.
Wine.
It's gold.
Wine.
Leaps off the bed.
And to think that I came that close to falling for somebody who can't stop correcting me every second of the day.
I only correct you every second of the day because you're wrong. Every second of the day.
I was reciting poetry. I was trying to be romantic.
Romance isn't about being shot at, being bloody dragged across Africa. It's about music and chocolates and flowers and...
Say it again.
It's about music and chocolates and...
Music. That's it! I can't believe I didn't see that before. It's so easy. It's so obvious. Don't you get it? The Song of Solomon is literally the Song of Solomon. This isn't a map. This is sheet music.
He draws lines between musical notes on the map.
That legend
is an instrument used to play the notes.
He slots the legend into the disc.
Thank God for clarinet lessons. No, sorry.
As he plays, gold sparks fly out of the map. The paper glows and forms a mound. Emily watches spellbound as mountains form in the center of the parchment. As he stops playing, the mountains disappear.
Did you see that?
Uh-huh.
Three Witches Mountain. The mines are inside that mountain.
Have your moments, Flynn Carson.
She clasps his face and throws him back on the bed. Judson appears in the bathroom mirror.
Flynn, are you there? Come in, Flynn.
Okay, this is too much. Is there something I can help you with?
Did you retrieve the map legend?
Yes, and the map also.
The location of King Solomon's mines is safe. All right, grab the first plane out and return to the library.
I'm not coming home right away, Judson. I'm going to the mines.
It's dangerous, Flynn. I mean, if the key of Solomon should fall into the wrong hands.
It won't, okay? Listen, why don't you just trust me one time? I don't have any choice. I have to go.
Just remember that sometimes you have to give up what you want for the greater good.
Okay, I gotta go. Take care.
He sprays shaving foam on the mirror.
I just wish you'd reconsider and come back to Mombasa with me. Leave this treasure hunting to the professionals.
I'll be fine, Uncle Jerry.
Morning.
Hello. What do you have there?
Oh, just some stuff that I picked up in town.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that you didn't believe in King Solomon's mines.
I don't. It's just standard hiking gear in case we need it.
I guess you better be going. Hey, thank you for everything.
You be careful, kiddo. You too, gorgeous.
Goodbye.
Jerry leaves. Emily and Flynn smile at each other. Flynn shakes his head and waves to Jerry, then leaves with Emily. A dust cloud blows across grassland. Flynn pushes creepers aside in the jungle, then stops suddenly in front of a tree with twisted roots.
Now I know why this place seems so familiar. I've been here before.
You have?
Yeah.
Faces are carved in a rock. Flynn looks at his drawings.
My father's bedtime stories.
He flicks through them.
This is the place he was talking about. The Laughing Rocks. He was here. And he knew that one day I would be here too.
Emily frowns, puzzled. Flynn shuts his eyes.
He was preparing me for it.
He looks at the pictures.
Well, I guess these aren't useless after all.
Timber, wood, tree. The baobab tree, oldest tree in Africa. Over 3,000 years old.
That would put around the time of Solomon.
He smiles at her, taps on the huge hollow trunk, then stamps on the ground.
That's hollow.
He scrabbles on the ground amongst the undergrowth and grabs a piece of root. He turns around and finds a trapdoor under the leaves. Heaving, he lifts it, waving the dust away. Flynn and Emily enter a dark, damp underground chamber. Emily puts on her jacket. Flynn leads the way down stone steps, passing Emily her bag and carrying the rope she's bought.
We must be underneath the mountain now.
He hands her the rope.
Watch your step going through here. This ground is very, very...
She falls.
Flynn?
She rushes down to him.
Flynn, you alright?
Slippery.
I was gonna say the ground is very slippery. Where are we?
Turn off the flashlight.
He shines his torch on some bats.
Desmodus rotundus. Vampire bats. Filthy, disgusting vampire bats.
Yeah, they're sensitive to light. We don't want to disturb them.
He backs into some creeper.
Hello? What is this?
He picks up a bat. It flies away.
I think I'm going to hurl.
Oh, please. Come on.
They walk onto a ledge overlooking a molten lava flow with a narrow bridge across.
We have to cross that.
If I remember the map correctly, that should be the entrance to King Solomon's treasure chamber, so... Yes.
He steps onto the bridge, gingerly, puffing out his cheeks. They creep across the narrow stone walkway, high above the glowing lava. Flynn nearly overbalances as they thread their way between rocks strewn on the bridge. He helps her off the walkway. She smiles with relief.
He's okay?
Okay.
They go through a carved stone archway and are confronted by a statue of a bearded man on a throne. They both look puzzled.
This is it?
Flynn steps forward, frowning, then runs up to the statue, his head on one side.
Where's the book?
He runs around the chamber.
Where's the treasure? What kind of treasure chamber doesn't have any treasure?
She takes off her bag and sits at the foot of the statue.
Wasting so much time chasing myths and legends.
Flynn has a picture of the statue.
I actually believe that I might find something.
Thanks, Dad.
He runs up steps next to the statue.
Instead,
I've been practically killed by madmen and hippos.
Flynn takes off his amulet and slots it into a hole in the front of the statue. One side of the throne slides back to form an opening. Emily leaps up. Flynn shows her the slot, grinning.
You had the key with you all this time.
He nods and plants a kiss on the statue. He runs down the steps and looks up at it. They glance at each other, then both try to squeeze through the opening at once. They enter a dark cave. Flynn looks around. It's full of heaps of gold and treasure. Stunned, they both stare at the gleaming piles.
How do you believe that?
He smiles, puts down his bag and kneels by some treasure. Emily picks up an ancient book.
Oh, my. Book of Genesis. I'm holding the Book of Genesis.
Dead Sea Scroll. Every single one of them.
Emily suddenly notices a huge face carved from stone. Flynn stands up and spots a book on top of a plinth.
The Book of Solomon.
He takes off his glasses and puts them into his shirt pocket and approaches the plinth. As he wipes the dust off the book, Emily stands in front of the stone face and touches the mouth. Flynn opens the book. Symbols on the pages light up. A wind blows the cobwebs hanging from the walls. Emily turns around. The symbols seem to be sucked into Flynn's thumb on the page. Emily frowns.
Flynn!
He slams the book shut and blinks, taking off his glasses.
I think we should be going.
As he leads her out, Samir watches, smirking. They stop. He beckons.
Give me the book.
Give it to me. Look who it is.
Yalla! Yalla, Yepshi!
His henchmen arrive, dragging Uncle Jerry with them. Flynn looks horrified.
Jerry.
Samir punches him in the stomach.
Stop. I'll give you the book. Just don't hurt him anymore.
He tosses the book to Samir.
Sorry, Flynn. But I told you not to come here, didn't I?
Here, walk with it.
Oh, you've got it backwards, darling. They work for me.
The gunman grabbed Flynn.
Jerry!
What did I say? Leave the treasure hunting to the professionals. But no, you had to come here.
How'd you find out about the mines?
I begged your father to tell me where it was, but he refused. He was so stubborn. He kept refusing right up until the moment I shot him.
You shot my father? He was your best friend!
I hated him for taking your mother away from me. I hated him for having the family I never had. Your father had everything, and I had nothing!
Flynn struggles.
This book will change all that. With it, I can bend space and time and take back all that's rightfully mine. I can rewrite my own history.
No, you can't use that book. You know how dangerous it is.
The incantation must be read in a special chamber here in the mines. What a shame. We're gonna miss it.
What, are you gonna kill us too, Jerry?
You're like a son to me, Flynn. I could never kill you. I've got General Samir to do that for me.
Oh, you better hope he does.
Just make sure they don't suffer much.
Emily and Flynn are bundled through a door. Samir holds them at gunpoint.
It would be so easy to shoot you both, but this would be so much more fun.
He slams the door. They are shut in a round tower.
Here, try this.
They try to lift a grill on the floor. It won't budge. They look around anxiously. Suddenly, water shoots through holes in the walls. Flynn grabs Emily.
looking for a secret chamber!
No, what's the secret chambers already? We are going to die!
Why don't you think of something? You're the one with 25 PhDs!
By all the other names of God Almighty, we powerfully command you.
The water's rising. As they look up, the circular roof starts descending towards them.
We'll be crushed to death!
Actually, we'll probably get it drowned first. The water level's rising much faster than that.
Shut up!
Save your oxygen. I'm going to try the grate again.
He ducks under the water and swims down to the grill in the floor and tries to lift it. Emily struggles to stay afloat. The roof slowly descends. Flynn heaves on the grill. Flynn's eyes shut, his grip loosens, and he starts to float. Dressed in white, he meets Judson on an empty beach flying a kite.
I was never very good at this.
Am I dead?
Do you want to be? Good, then you're not. There we go, that's better. Only you, Flynn, can protect Solomon's secrets. It's your legacy. You must follow in your father's footsteps.
I don't understand.
You will.
He hands him the kite.
Now, I need you to do one more thing for me.
What's that?
Open your eyes.
Underwater, Flynn opens his eyes. Jomo drags him up. He lands next to Emily, spitting out water.
Jomo.
Now we are even.
Shem Kosmotav Ashanim Akadash Anupokim Alachim Beozma Rabba. By all the other names of God Almighty, we powerfully command ye. He who by
your... Where are we?
We're in the chamber of the dead kings.
What's he doing?
He's reading the Grimorian incantation that will allow the dead to rise.
Is that bad?
Well, it's not good. If the spirits enter the altar of the flame, it's not going to be pretty. Here's the plan. We're going to draw them out one at a time. We're going to concentrate all their power in the center, then we go right, we go left, and then we take the front.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
We have to consider the various paths, but events could be simpler.
Don't you?
Ye who by your own...
That works too.
Jomo has knocked out a gunman. Flynn jumps down into the chamber and is pinned to the wall by a thug with a pole. Emily slides down onto Flynn's shoulders and kicks the thug. Samir is alerted.
Before his throne, by him we cast thee down under the most profound...
Flynn, Emily and Jomo struggle with their assailants. Flynn punches one. Emily kicks out. Jomo fells the brunette. Flynn runs towards Jerry. Samir stops him.
I should have shot you when I had the chance.
Emily hits him over the head.
Get the book.
Flynn looks up at Jerry, who's on a platform. He climbs up the wall to reach him. A gunman grabs him in a stranglehold. Samir gets to his feet, holding his head. The lava pit below the platform bubbles. Flynn struggles with the gunman and looks down at the glowing lava. Flynn headbutts him. They fall back onto the floor. Flynn elbows the gunman in the face. He looks down into the pit and sees a man and a woman. He stares at them.
Strong and powerful, rise from your sleep, so that you may aid me in my work. Come ye, angels of darkness, come hither before this circle without fear and terror.
Samir walks into a dark cave, igniting his cigarette lighter. The bats on the ceiling fidget. Emily follows him, clutching a gold statue. She bumps into an oil-filled vessel on the wall and looks at it.
Long before the constitution of the world, by the names of the two princes of the universe, by the rod of Moses, by the staff of Jacob, by the ring and seal of David, wherein are written the names of sovereign God, I conjure thee, O creatures of fire, open the portal, go to the light and grant my desire.
Jerry looks up. Smoke rises from the mummies on shelves in the chamber. Blue light surrounds them. Flynn watches anxiously, clinging to the wall. A flame shoots out of the middle of the platform.
Ghosts. I hate ghosts.
The bats hanging above Samir squirm. He creeps forward, clutching his lighter, and smiles.
I can hear you breathing.
He turns. Emily throws oil over Samir. He bursts into flames. The bats take flight. She looks up horrified as a dark cloud of bats flies through the cave. Flynn watches human shapes of blue light fly around the chamber.
His Majesty, and before the Holy Angels, now begin the sentence of your condemnation. Come you then.
Jerry looks up.
It's working. It's working.
As the bats cover Samir, Emily escapes. He rolls around on the ground. Chomo fights for the brunette. A ghost flies up to Flynn. He watches, bemused. Suddenly it bears its teeth at him. He nearly falls into the lava.
Whirlwinds and the tempest. Oh, demons, aid me in my work. I conjure you anew by these other names of gods, of holy and unknown. Now, grant me the power of Solomon!
Flynn dangles from the platform. A flame shoots up to the roof. Jerry's eyes glow red. Flynn knocks the book from his hand. It slides to the edge of the platform. Jerry picks up a sword. Flynn grabs a staff.
You should be back to stuffy jobs stacking books.
Flynn expertly twirls his staff round his head.
You'd be surprised what you can learn at the library.
Jerry brings down the sword. Flynn fends him off. Sparks fly as they clash. Jomo is still fighting the brunette. Flynn and Jerry's weapons give off a golden glow as they trade blows on the platform. Flynn knocks the sword out of Jerry's hand. Blue light crackles at the end of Flynn's weapon. Jerry stares at it. Flynn picks up the book.
Give me the book!
Don't come any closer or I'll destroy it!
You wouldn't dare! Flynn, don't!
He holds it over the lava pit.
Imagine the power of Flynn. You could control all space and time. Make your wildest dreams come true.
I don't care about any of that.
You could see your father again!
Flynn suddenly looks interested.
Use the book, Flynn. Finish reading the incantations and bring your father back to you.
Flynn looks down at the book.
He would put that on and tell you the most extraordinary bedtime stories about magical kingdoms and with upside down valleys.
He opens it, watched by Jerry.
Yes. Read the words.
Flynn frowns and gulps.
Bless O Lord, all powerful, all merciful.
A figure appears in the flame.
Bring that to you. That's it. Read the words.
This creature of fire, so that being blessed by thee, it may be for the honor and glory of thy most holy name.
The flame grows larger. A figure emerges from it. Flynn watches, mesmerized, as it approaches.
Conjure thee, O creature of fire, by him who removeth the earth and maketh it tremble, and thou burn and torment these spirits so that they may feel it intensely, and that they may be burned eternally by thee. I exorcise thee, O creature of fire, by him who all things have been made.
Don't you see what you're doing?
No hindrance or evil unto those who use it. Through thee, O eternal and almighty Lord, through thy most holy name, bring back those I've loved and lost.
The fiery figure reaches out towards him.
Father to me.
Emily uses the gold artifact she's holding to reflect light onto Flynn's amulet. It dazzles him. He holds the amulet.
Doctor? No.
Emily looks relieved.
What are you doing? No, 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 don't stop. We didn't know you want to be with your father again.
My father's been with me the whole time.
Flynn tosses the book into the lava pit. Jerry jumps after it. Flynn looks over the edge of the platform. The fiery figure disappears into the flame. Jerry is covered by the orange lava. The flame diminishes. The blue ghosts disperse and disappear, shooting across the chamber.
Get out of here!
Flynn takes a running jump off the platform and clears the pit below. He runs out of the chamber with Emily and Jomo. The pit explodes in a fireball. Lava floods the chamber, which starts to disintegrate. As statues tumble and walls collapse, they run back through the cave and out into the jungle. They throw themselves to the ground as the chamber explodes behind them. Flynn holds Emily tight. Another explosion makes them duck. They scramble to their feet and run as a fireball explodes behind them. They run in the dark along a riverbank. Explosions light up the night sky like fireworks. At the airport, Flynn shakes Jomo's hand.
Jomo, I don't know how to thank you. I couldn't have done it without you.
I may have been your guide, but it was you who led the way.
I have a little something for you.
His amulet.
No, that belongs to you.
No, this belongs to you. I can't think of anybody I would rather have protect King Solomon's secret than you.
I have something for you.
A bar of chocolate.
In case of hippos.
Emily approaches in a strapless white gown.
Jongo Maesha.
Next time I'm in Kenya, I'll be sure to stop by the Nula tribe.
And we will treat you like a queen.
A queen? Did you hear that? Finally, some respect.
Flight 382 now boarding to New York.
Jomo nods. Flynn winks at him and leaves, hand in hand with Emily.
You want to be treated like a queen? Wait till my mother meets you.
They approach a light aircraft.
This is our plane, right over here.
She pulls away.
I'm not going. I booked a flight to Tunisia instead.
You did?
There's a dig there. They found some first century pottery shards that could be linked to Sheba. It's a shot in the dark.
But you're all done chasing myths and legends.
Yeah, well, let's just say I got a little inspiration.
Flynn nods with a pained expression.
So this is it?
She shrugs.
I guess so.
Well, I'm not very good at goodbyes.
Neither am I.
I'm really not very good at
really
goodbyes.
I'm really not good either.
Well, I think I'm a little worse at them than
Flynn?
You.
Flynn?
He looks down, chastened. Their eyes meet. She smiles.
Will I see you again?
He draws her towards him. They kiss passionately. They separate. She backs away, her eyes fixed on him. She turns and leaves. He watches her, exhaling.
All the gin joints in all the world.
He puts on a trilby.
Walk into mine.
Hands in the pockets of his trench coat, he ambles over to one of the small planes on the dark runway. Flynn walks towards the imposing entrance to the library.
$500 to the magical honeymoon tour? Oh, which reminds me, your mother called. She sounded furious, something about you getting married and not telling her.
Don't ask.
She looks at his receipts.
Okay,
Itemize these next time, will you? I'm glad you're home.
Flynn walks through sliding doors and down marble steps. He pauses and looks around nervously, flexing his fingers.
Excalibur.
He turns around sharply, looking wary. He backs across the shiny floor and collides with Judson.
Oh, Flynn, I didn't know you were back.
Judson?
So, how did your trip go?
Oh, not so well. Destroyed the book, which wasn't very librarian of me.
You sacrificed what you really wanted for the greater good. Only a great librarian would do that. What about your father? Did you find all the answers you wanted?
Yeah.
They pause.
But I think you knew that already.
Yeah. Why didn't you tell me? Flynn, it's a lesson you had to learn all by yourself. I know you miss your father, and wherever he is, I know he's very proud of you. And for what it's worth, I am too. Now, let me show you something. How would you like to see an authentic Sioux Indian arrowhead?
Really?
No.
You actually found one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where did you find it?
eBay.
eBay. Hey, Judson. All right, back in the mines, I had this vision. You and I were on a beach. You were talking to me. You were giving me some advice. You didn't make yourself appear in my vision, did you?
Flynn, I'm capable of a lot of things, but magically appearing in a vision on a beach, flying a kite, is not one of them.
I didn't say anything about flying kites.
Oh.
Judson turns and leaves.
Oh, come on. You have got to tell me how you did that. It has been driving me crazy.
The panpipes and Excalibur dance through the air behind Judson and Flynn. The end.